On this episode of A New York Minute in History,
I hope this historic marker serves as an enduring symbol of Baltimore's remarkable achievements and inspire future generations of engineers, leaders, and innovators to follow in his footsteps.
We honor a trailblazer, Garnett Douglas Baltimore, the first African-American engineer and graduate of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. We attended the unveiling of his William G. Pomeroy Foundation New York State Historical Marker, which pays tribute to Baltimore's pioneering spirit and lasting impact. We also spoke with Dr. Latasha A. Brown, Director of Community Relations at RPI, who led the program. It's all up next, right after this.
From the Irish invasion of Canada to the early days of the movies, if you are interested in broadening your understanding of New York State history, then this is the podcast for you. I'm Susan Hughes, historian and archivist for the William G. Pomeroy Foundation, a proud sponsor of A New York Minute in History. The Pomeroy Foundation is a philanthropic organization based in Syracuse, New York. One of our main initiatives is to help people celebrate their community's history by providing grants for historic markers and plaques. Here in the Empire State and across the country, we support a diverse range of marker programs that include commemorating food history, civil rights, folklore, and sites on the National Register of Historic Places. As the nation's leading funder of historic markers, the Pomeroy Foundation has awarded over 1,800 grants since 2005. To learn more about the foundation's grant programs, visit wgpfoundation.org. That's wgpfoundation.org.
Welcome to A New York Minute in History. I'm Devin Lander, the New York State historian.
And I'm Lauren Roberts, the historian for Saratoga County. On this month's episode, we're taking you to a brand new historic marker located at 105 8th Street in the city of Troy, which is part of Rensselaer County. The sign is located at the top of an elaborate granite staircase known as The Approach, which connects the city of Troy to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, better known as RPI. And the text reads, Garnett Baltimore, first Black RPI graduate, class of 1881, lifelong Troy resident, civil engineer who designed Prospect Park and parts of Oakwood Cemetery, William G. Pomeroy Foundation, 2025. Now, many of our listeners who are not from the Troy area may have heard of RPI, but they probably haven't heard the name Garnett Baltimore. So let's start off with talking a little bit about who he was and how he came to be the first Black graduate at RPI.
Well, let's start with his name, Garnett Douglas Baltimore. So he was from a very prominent African-American free Black family in Troy. His father, Peter, was a barber and also very active in community life in the city. He was also a member of the Underground Railroad and was an abolitionist, of course, and very involved with several of the most prominent abolitionists in the state and nation at the time, including Henry Highland Garnett, who was a legendary preacher and an abolitionist based in Troy at the time. And also was associated with Frederick Douglass. So that's where we get the name Garnett Douglas Baltimore. He's named after Henry Highland Garnett and Frederick Douglass. And even going farther back, his grandfather, Samuel Baltimore, was born enslaved and sought his freedom as a soldier in the American Revolution. He was promised to be free if he had fought on the side of the Americans during the Revolution. Unfortunately, after the war, he was denied his freedom by his master or owner at the time. And so he escaped and settled in Troy, which is how the Baltimore family came to the area. Now, Garnett Baltimore was born on 8th Street, so not far from where the marker is and right in front of the RPI campus, actually at 162 8th Street. In 1859, he was born. And he, again, was born into a prominent African-American family that really valued education and valued the ability of education to lift up a person and allow them to pursue a career and a life on their own.
Garnett studied at the William Rich School and then went to Troy Academy, where he and his brother were the first Black students accepted there. He had great grades, and because of the family's connections with prominent people around Troy, he was able to gain acceptance into RPI in 1877's freshman class. And that's how he became the first Black graduate in the year 1881, which then led to an amazing career as a civil engineer, and he remained in Troy for the rest of his life.
One of the things about Garnett that we've learned is that beyond being, you know, the first African-American RPI engineering graduate in 1881 was the fact that his career was long and varied. And evidence suggests that he received his first job the day after getting his engineering degree from RPI. And so that started a career in which he worked on a variety of projects around the area and around the state, including parts of the Erie Canal, the Oswego Canal, bridges, other types of civil engineering projects like that. Now, we were fortunate to go to the unveiling ceremony for the Garnett Douglas Baltimore marker. And this entire project, the work, the research that was done to apply for the marker and to receive a marker from the Pomeroy Foundation was done by Dr. Latasha Brown at RPI, and we had the opportunity to speak with her after the event.
My name is Dr. Latasha Brown, and it's my pleasure to be here. I have a PhD from the University of Warwick in Coventry, England, in Comparative Cultural Studies. From there, I have a master's degree in African New World Studies from Florida International University down in Miami, Florida, which is now African and African Diaspora Studies. That changed a couple of years ago. My undergrad is from a bachelor's degree in history, minor in English Lit from St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York. So I've had quite a bit of experience up and down the East Coast in terms of educational development. And then I did a bit of study abroad in the Caribbean at the University of the West Indies. So throughout my career, I've had the privilege of learning and working across the U.S., the Caribbean, and the U.K. So I bring a particular perspective that is global to the work that I do right now at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute as the Director of Community Relations within the Office of Community Relations and Communications.
All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit about Garnett Douglas Baltimore. When did you first become aware of Garnett Douglas Baltimore, and how did that whole interest that you have start?
Yes. I started at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute back in February of 2022. I was the director of the Office of Multicultural Programs at the time, and everyone was talking about the first African-American to graduate from RPI, Garnett Douglas Baltimore. And I'm like, oh, okay, neat. Mm. You know, most institutions has a first African-American. Mm-hmm. What year did he graduate? Most people did not know.
Okay.
And I was just like, oh.
Hmm.
And I was just like, okay, I need to find this out. Just because it's the first, and knowing that RPI has been around for quite some time, since 1824, which we just celebrated the bicentennial, so I really wanted to sort of position him within sort of that historical moment. And so 1824, you know, RPI is founded, and then he graduates in 1881. And I was just like, this is amazing, regardless of the fact of, you know, putting the title or the adjective of him being a trailblazer. I'm like, that is just really interesting when you're thinking about the development of America and you know, upstate New York and him working in a space that is not heavily filled with African Americans, right? And so that was like the journey. He was well connected, and I should say that his father was well connected. His father was part of the Underground Railroad, and so having the opportunity to be around sort of intellectuals at the time, Black and white, being around affluent people, because, you know, Troy, New York, from my understanding, was filled with billionaires, right? And so he had the opportunity to excel, but also be very much in the midst of change and creating opportunities for a lot of people economically as well as socially. What was neat about him, and just in terms of his namesake, is that he was given the name after Reverend Hyland Garnett and Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about these two individuals that carry such significance within American history, you have to expect for him to be brilliant in mm-hmm. whatever he attaches himself to. He went on to the William Rich School for Colored Children in Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, he went to the Troy Academy, where he was there for 5 years with his younger brother. And then he was thinking about Harvard University. Mm-hmm. And then he decided to focus on STEM, as we call it now, and apply to RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Mm.
And so that started his journey. But, you know, thinking about physically where he was in Troy, he was right on 8th Street.
Mm.
And so RPI was right above.
Mm-hmm.
So every day he was engaging with that academic space very intentionally, but also just being a passerby. The educational institution as it was being built out. The suspicion is that there was other African Americans, and I say other for small number, right? Mm-hmm. This is class size for 1881 was only 17.
Mm-hmm.
So there might have been one or two other individuals of African descent. We would know that they would be male as opposed to female, but we don't have that definitive answer as of yet. But you know, more work is to be done on his life. I wanted the marker just to sort of signify not so much that he went to RPI, but to really mark the year because everybody knew his name, you know, well known on campus at RPI, well known in the community, but to have that historical date that people can pass by and see constantly, that was really important. To have it at the approach, that really came later, but with regards to the foundation and the process, I was concerned about what region I was located in, right? So when is the deadline?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was already going into the archives at RPI and looking at the various maps and then going down to the Hart-Culick, looking at their materials, looking at the materials online, but I didn't have a sense of what was his story. And so there was a lot of conversations that I was having with people that were intimately connected to his journey that had documented in various ways, whether it's for political speeches for the, you know, the various presidents or just kind of folklore in the community. We had a Juneteenth event back in June of 2022, and it was a localized version. That was to celebrate Garnet D. Baltimore. And it was at that moment I was just like, this would be a really good idea to have a historical marker for him. And so I went onto the website. I missed the deadline. And then I was just like, okay, let me get this started. What is needed in terms of the primary and secondary sources? So I started to do a deeper dive in the archives at RPI and having conversations with Jennifer and Tammy, who were the archivists at the time. And then, you know, it was everything from his academic records to what was he involved with in school in terms of extracurricular activities? Because, you know, that shaped his worldview. Who else was in the class? Who was on the board of trustees? Because all of this is being shaped by the fact that he was the first. How did he get into this space, right? You know, what was the political connection to the community and the capital region at large? And then knowing that his father was an affluent person in terms of not just, you know, financial means, but also political connection, that played a role. But then I also wanted to know, did he have any writings for himself, right? And he didn't. There was a lot of newspaper clippings that I was able to come across up and down the country of him visiting. And, you know, there's quite a bit in Black newspapers announcing his visits for obvious reasons, right? And then there was just a series of committees and councils that he was a part of in terms of being part of the community and volunteering, not just with RPI and the alumni network, just but beyond that. And then I realized I needed to have his birth certificate, his death certificate, and then going down to Troy and getting those records and then looking at the records of where exactly was his house, because that was the big challenge. Was it on the side of RPI? Did RPI, you know, do they now own that property or is it owned by the city? Because originally it wasn't going to be a marker just for him, but it was a marker at the location of where his house was located.
Okay.
And then I had a lot of conversations with Christy at the Pomeroy Foundation. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, if there's not a stone or anything left, you can't put the marker there.
Mm.
And so it was a series of brainstorming, like, so what is the real sort of draw between the campus remembering him and the community?
Mm.
And then you have Prospect Park.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oakwood Cemetery. And then he's a true Trojan. Mm-hmm. And so it just seems fitting to have it at the Approach. And then the history of the Approach and the Rubin
sure.
Foundation. It just all came together about a year later, because again, I missed the deadline.
Wow.
And then
you have another job, though.
Yeah. I had another job, right? But to me, it was the process of utilizing the skills that I acquired, you know, as a result of getting my PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And then also not just looking at the race component, but like the cultural impact.
Mm-hmm.
How was he instrumental in creating community? And he was very much involved in community
right.
building and community change and providing access through his work as an engineer.
Mm.
And so that was the process. And then I think it was the end of November, beginning of December, I got noticed that, you know, I was awarded the Pomeroy Historical Marker Grant. Terribly excited. And then we had to figure out what was the proper wording.
Mm,
and that is where the challenge comes in, because it's a small space and it's not a poem.
Right.
And so you want to be as concrete in terms of delivery of the words, but also as impactful, because you know that people are going to see this for a really long time. And this is possibly their first touch point into doing a deeper dive,
right.
not just into Gardner D. Baltimore, but Oakwood Cemetery,
Oakwood, and, yeah.
RPI,
mm-hmm.
Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it opens up a bigger space to go down a rabbit hole of just knowledge and time and space. And so it's lovely to know that the marker is up at the Approach, and that is not just an RPI experience, but it's a community experience.
But I'm curious about, so some of the logistics stuff with all of this, I know can be complex with placing a marker in certain spots. Was there a difficulty in placing it where it is now on the Approach, or was that
smooth sailing? It wasn't smooth sailing. It was a process for sure. It's figuring out the foot traffic,
right? Yeah.
Logistics is, you know, who's going to see this? You know, are we just looking at it from the standpoint of vehicles passing by?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to actually slow down? Not too long ago, RPI put in a crosswalk. And
yes.
So that was the perfect location. You would, you know, travel up or down the Approach, but more so traveling up the Approach, and where the marker is located is right at the crosswalk. So you would have to press the button and wait. And as you're waiting, you're now reading.
Now you're reading.
And so that allows for not just the individuals that's standing at the crosswalk to cross the street, but it also allows for the vehicle, the persons in the vehicle, to then look at the marker themselves, because it's big enough for you to take a peek. And if you're really curious, you can pull over and park safely and get out and read the marker.
One of the attendees at the unveiling ceremony for the Garnett Baltimore Marker was Bill Pomeroy, who is the founder of the William G. Pomeroy Foundation and also a graduate of RPI from the class of 1966. He was invited to give remarks about the Garnett Baltimore Marker located at his alma mater.
Thank you, folks, and I'm excited to be here today to celebrate the life and the legacy of Garnett Douglas Baltimore, an accomplished engineer, landscape designer, and RPI's first graduate. We're marking that legacy literally with this new historic marker funded by the foundation I started 20 some years ago. That foundation, like many meaningful things, came from a deeply personal place. My time at RPI from 1962 to 1966 taught me a lot about perseverance, problem solving, and purpose. But it was an unexpected leukemia diagnosis, AML, that gave me clarity on how I wanted to give back. With the odds stacked against me, I set out to create something that could help others long after I was gone. I focused first on expanding the bone marrow registry, especially for underrepresented communities. The goal? Give more patients, like me, a shot at a life-saving donor match. And I'm proud to say that our work has helped facilitate over 300 bone marrow transplants. Thank you very much. Later, my interest in history took hold, and our foundation began helping communities across the country uncover and celebrate their local histories. As a boy, my dad took me on his sales calls and frequently stopped at historic sites to learn more about them. And I guess that's where the bug got planted in my head, and I continue now with markers. So when I learned that someone had proposed a marker for Garnett Baltimore, and on the approach, no less, you know, the one I remember as an ankle breaker from 1962, I was thrilled. It's a perfect spot, and thank you, Dr. Brown, for thoroughly documenting the facts for the marker and the backstory. Baltimore lived his whole life right here in Troy, likely right down here close to where the marker is today. The approach, physically and symbolically, connects the city of Troy to RPI. What better place to celebrate someone who embodied both? And Garnett Baltimore is not just celebrated here. His influence, you know, really goes further than here. He helped design Oakwood Cemetery. His grandfather, Samuel Baltimore, a Revolutionary War patriot, is buried in Troy's Mount Ida Cemetery. Garnett likely became aware from family lore of patriots buried in both places. And we're currently developing a new marker with the Sons of the American Revolution to honor 22 known patriots interred at Oakwood. We're also working on a marker for Mud Lock on the Oswego Canal, where Baltimore oversaw a challenging expansion project in the mud. He'll be recognized by name when that marker is installed later on this year. All of this makes me especially proud to now see a marker here that ties him firmly and forever to RPI and the city of Troy. This marker will spark curiosities in passersby, pride in the community, and the inspiration of future generations who, like Baltimore, use their talents to make a lasting impact. As someone who shares whose own story was shaped by this place, it's an honor to share in this moment of pride for your community, and I want to thank you for the opportunity.
Now, much like one of his family's friends, Frederick Douglass, who for his second marriage, married a white woman, Garnett Douglass Baltimore also married a white woman named Mary Lane, who he met doing a job on Long Island. Her family originated from Long Island, but they moved back to Troy to help further his career and keep his career going. And she was a strong advocate not only for equality for African-American people, but also for women. She was known as a suffragist. And when we spoke to Dr. Brown, she talked about how she was able to track down Mary Lane's family and actually have representation from that family at the unveiling event.
I reached out back in, I want to say it was 2016. If you look on the archival website for RPI, there was a thread of discussions that were going on. And there was a woman, she said that she was a descendant of Garnett D. Baltimore, like a great, great, grandniece. And so I did a deep dive and, you know, Googling and you know, putting in her name in various websites and forums, and then even sending a follow-up to that thread. I presume she's still alive. She's about 66. Mm-hmm. And I've called, you know, four different emails were available. I presume that they are still members of the family that are alive, but I don't have exact evidence to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the Mary Lane family, they were here yesterday, mm-hmm. and that is the Charles Martyr, who is the nephew, the great-great-great-grandnephew of Mary Lane. And I found him through having conversations with several people and then coming across his mother's announcement of her death.
Oh,
yes. Okay. And so I read that, and then they had a listing of him along with his children and his, you know, extended family members. And then I did a deeper dive. On a Sunday afternoon, I would never, you know, forget that. I'm sending out emails, looking at LinkedIn profiles and websites and reading additional articles. So I got in contact with several of individuals via email. And then I was hoping that somebody was going to reply back, but I didn't know how it was going to be received.
Right, right. Right.
And so a few emails bounced back saying that their mailboxes were full. And I was just like, oh. And then one came, I want to say, maybe 2 weeks later.
Mm.
And so he replied back and he's just like, this is really interesting. I'm like, indeed, it is interesting. Right. And then he was telling me that he went to Bennington College in Vermont. Yep. So he used to pass through the area to go back down to Long Island.
Okay.
And so he was familiar within reason of RPI. Well, he knew RPI, but the area. And then he paused a bit and then he reached out to the local librarian archivist and they did a little bit of research and then they came back and was just like, let's talk a little bit more.
Mm.
And so I met Charles maybe 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago via WebEx. Uh-huh. And we had our discussion and sort of finalizing the details of this event and talking about, you know, RPI and Mary Lane and what information is available. And then I reached out further to the librarian down on Long Island. And again, there is no primary information from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just secondary. And mm-hmm. so it's taking these puzzle pieces and putting them together. And they weren't aware that she was up here.
Wow.
So they were being introduced to her and to Garnet, you know, Douglas Baltimore yesterday. But clearly, they did a little bit of research prior to our event, my event yesterday. But this was their introduction to that side of their family.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I really appreciate it. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. You literally dug us up, or rather figuratively dug us up. I don't be careful what I say here, talking about cemeteries, but thank you. I'm here, you know why I'm here, but I don't know, or you know how I'm here, but why I'm so excited to be here is because I am a landscape design horticultural person that I've been doing for 50 years with my wife, and later on, my son Silas, who's right over here. It took him a little while, but he's come a long way. And I've also worked on Prospect Park in Brooklyn, Central Park in New York City, museum decommissioning the Philip Johnson's Museum of Modern Art about 10 years ago when they renovated the place, took them out to the Botanical Garden. I've decommissioned Linden Circle in the Botanical Garden. I have built some things. I'm not just a decommissioner, but believe me, we moved giant trees. We moved one today to Connecticut with a police escort. It was a valuable tree. So anyway, I have a certain sympathy or empathy when I found out about my aunt's great, my great, great, great aunt's husband, and so proud that he was part of the family.
Two of the major projects that Garnett worked on in Troy was the laying out of Prospect Park and also laying out parts of Oakwood Cemetery, which is a beautiful cemetery that Troy is well known for. As part of the unveiling ceremony, attendees were treated to a tour of Oakwood Cemetery, which included mentions of several prominent people that were buried there, but also a tour through the areas that Garnett laid out, and also a stop at his grave and that of the grave of his wife, where there was a wreath-laying ceremony and a local pastor gave some moving remarks about the legacy of Garnett Baltimore. In addition, we stopped back at the chapel, and on display were maps from the early 1900s that Garnett Baltimore had actually laid out and signed. His original signature was on the maps, so it was a real treat to be able to see his actual presence in the cemetery on these maps as part of their archives.
We've talked on this episode about how Garnett Douglas Baltimore was a trailblazer, first African-American civil engineer, graduate of RPI, first graduate from other schools in the area, and also a very active and prominent civil engineer for his whole career, working on projects around the state and around the area. But he really was a Trojan. He was a proud resident of Troy, New York. He was very active, along with his wife, Mary Lane, in local community events and community works beyond his career. As I noted, Garnett was born on 8th Street in Troy, and in fact, he died in the exact same house he was born in. He died in 1946. He was 87 years old, and he was active as an engineer right up until the end of his life. So the location of the marker could not be better. It's located on 8th Street, as we said, which has also been renamed Garnett Douglas Baltimore Street in Troy. And it's on the approach, which is this arched concrete walkway and stairs that connects RPI's campus to the city of Troy, crosses 8th Street and goes down the hill into the city itself. And no better place could have been picked to honor the legacy of Garnett Douglas Baltimore, who was himself a connection between the Institute and the city. RPI President Martin Schmidt reflected on this connection at the unveiling ceremony.
It's a real pleasure to be here. We're gathering, of course, to unveil a significant tribute, a New York State historical marker dedicated to the pioneering spirit and lasting impact of Garnett Douglas Baltimore. And it's made possible by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. And I'm deeply grateful that they're present with us today. Wonderful to see fellow alumnus Bill Pomeroy, and just delightful. It's also special that this marker will be placed at the approach, which is a site that's deeply embedded in the history of both Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, but also the city of Troy. It's our gateway between the campus and the town. And to that note, before I continue, I want to extend my deepest gratitude to Mayor Carmela Mantello for joining us today. We're delighted with the partnership that we have with the city on so many fronts, and her continued dedication to preserving and celebrating the rich history of Troy is really inspiring, so thank you. I also want to take a moment to recognize and thank the members of the extended family of Garnett Baltimore's wife, Mary Lane, who are here with us today. Your presence is a meaningful reminder of the lasting connections between history, family, and community. Additionally, just thanks again to the foundation for their incredible work in recognizing and commemorating historic figures who have shaped our community. Their mission ensures that we never forget the contributions of individuals like Garnett Baltimore, who helped lay the foundation, both literally and figuratively, of the places we call home. Garnett Douglas Baltimore was not just a trailblazer. He was a visionary. As the first Black graduate of RPI in 1881, I hadn't realized it was 100 years before I got to graduate from RPI, he forged a path in civil engineering that would leave a lasting mark on this city and beyond. His work, particularly his contributions to the design and preservation of Oakwood Cemetery, remains an enduring testament to his expertise and deep connections to Troy, the city where he was born and spent his life. Baltimore's legacy as a civil engineer, landscape designer, and lifelong Troy resident is a reminder of the importance of recognizing those whose work continues to shape our communities for generations. Here at RPI, we take great pride in our long and storied history of innovation and leadership in engineering, science, and technology. But our mission extends beyond technical achievements. We seek to make an impact in the communities we serve. Garnett Baltimore embodied this principle, bringing his technical expertise with a profound sense of civic responsibility. And the approach is a historic landmark that connects our campus with the city. And so in placing the plaque at the top of the approach, we're recognizing the bridge Baltimore created between engineering excellence and community development. This unveiling is not just about marking history. It is about learning from it. It is an opportunity for individuals of all ages to explore and appreciate the contributions of those who came before us. I hope this historic marker serves as an enduring symbol of Baltimore's remarkable achievements and inspire future generations of engineers, leaders, and innovators to follow in his footsteps.
Now, Garnett was such a prominent resident of Troy that when he passed away in 1946, the Troy Record, which is the local newspaper, ran a front page obituary with a photograph. And they said, quote, "There was a time when he was in the thick of municipal affairs. He was architectural engineer at Oakwood Cemetery. He laid out Prospect Park. He was probably the greatest surveyor in the city's history. He was as much a part of Troy as the monument."
With Garnett D. Baltimore, there is so much to still uncover about his life and providing a holistic view of who he was. I think at the moment is very fragmented. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting better at looking at or positioning these puzzle pieces together, but there's just so much that can be discovered and sort of put out there for public consumption. And I think when you think about curriculum, local mm-hmm. curriculum, and I know that you're part of that space, mm-hmm. that becomes really important when we're thinking about how young people, particularly K through 12, but specifically K through 8, can feel a connection to their live and learning environment. Mm-hmm. And this is one example that they can say, he was a trailblazer. He wasn't a trailblazer in terms of being at the forefront and, of various movements or economic development in terms of benchmarking at different periods in time, but he was at the forefront of creating change and creating community. Mm-hmm. And we always need community. Mm-hmm. So I think this would be really important to put into the curriculum on a regular basis that sort of feeds into opening up the space of thinking about STEM and STEAM. Mm-hmm. For younger individuals, particularly those of African descent, but mm-hmm. all students.
Thanks for listening to A New York Minute in History. This podcast is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio and the New York State Museum, with support from the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. Our producer is Dave Hopper. Special thanks to Sarah LeDuc.
A big thanks to Dr. Latasha A. Brown for taking part. If you enjoyed this month's episode, Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and share on social media. To learn more about our guests and the show, check us out at wamcpodcasts.org. We're also on X and Instagram at NY History Minute.
I'm Devin Lander.
And I'm Lauren Roberts.
Until next time,
Excelsior.